probably more for me than anybody. But if anybody wants copies of the tapes, you know, I've got them all. We've had some good lessons when we got together. Stan wanted to do the lesson, like he was going to do it. He prepared to do it, but of course he couldn't. So he called me to kind of fill in for him. And I'll do the best I can, but it's not going to be like normally it's a kind of really regimented format we can stick into. And we have the lesson, and I may do the teacher does a lot of the talking. But if you got something to say, you just say it. You know, if you've got an idea, because what I want us to do is the meeting is to try to help us, like John was saying in his prayer, to do better what we're doing, to continue to do good what we're doing. And if there's some areas that we're lacking personally, or some areas we think we can do better, that maybe something that you're doing that helps us, will help us all do better, then you got to mention it. You got to say it, because that's we want to keep doing the things right that we're doing right, but the things that we're erroring on, the things that we're not doing quite well enough, that we want to correct those. We don't want to just keep letting them go. Let me just tell you a little story. Like I say, I was a Christian about 6 months. And you know how you get these things where you're at these crossroads? I guess everybody has crossroads. You have more than one. They're there all the time. And this is where I was at a crossroads. I was studying with this fellow, Phil, he was trying to teach me that you had to read all the time, that you had to pray, you had to do the memory work. You had to be faithful to the assembly and stuff. Like, he wasn't telling it to me, but he was trying to encourage me. But, you know, I'd come out of the world, and it was kind of a hard thing. I'd never read the Bible before or anything. And the thing that I was really having a hard time with was the reading the Bible and memorizing Scripture, which is two things we really try to stress a lot in this ministry. So I got down. I was delivering down at the Dominion Electric down in Chantilly,
Virginia. I know them.
Yeah. I'm sure you do. And there's a fellow down there named Marco. And I knew him for about 3 or 4 years at this time when I was talking to him. But I'd never gotten in any great long conversation with him. But what it was, he was an immigrant from Colombia, South America. And he came over back in, I think it was 82. And I was talking to him now. This is probably about August of 1990. And I was amazed that, you know, that he'd come over from that country with just the clothes on his back, two small children, and one on the way, and his wife, and maybe a bag or two, and he came to this country. He was relaying the story to me. He was so excited about it. He was saying, man, this was the greatest day in his life when he got to come to this country and immigrate, and wanted to become a citizen, and he did. But in his country, he said it was nothing but putting you down. You couldn't achieve anything, you couldn't be successful at anything, because the minute you start doing something, there was somebody to put you down. You couldn't grow, you couldn't achieve. But he said here, when he stepped into this country, he felt like, man, the shackles were taken off of him. And he was just so excited about it. He had a problem, though, and he realized it after about 6 months. And the problem was, well, He was in the right country, and he could make he could see that the aspirations that he had could be met there. And he was at the right place. He had the right attitude about being there. But he lacked one thing. He couldn't speak the language. He couldn't speak English. And he realized this was going to be crippling, you know, because right away he could see this was going to cause him to go down. And so I got a few things that I'm going to just kind of share from this story as we talked about it, as I talked with him. I asked him some questions. I realize I'm about 6 months a Christian now, and I'm trying to figure out what I need to do in my Christian walk. And I'm listening to this guy, and I'm saying, man, this guy's going to teach me something. I can just tell it's coming. You see, he had this problem. He couldn't speak English. He had his old language, which he knew real well, but it wasn't any good in this country for the most part. So he purposed. He realized he had to learn the English language. Now, the way he did it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever heard of. What he did, he didn't know anybody here. He only had one family member here. And he only knew a few people here that had gone over before him. And so he met one guy who knew a guy who knew a guy that could speak a little bit of English. And he got this guy to try to teach him how to English. And what this guy did was write on 3x5 cards phrases of English. Come back in 1 week, he'd give you 4 or 5 more phrases. Come back 1 more week, he'd give you 4 or 5 more phrases. And this guy kept these 3x5 cards with him everywhere he went. Before he went to bed at night, when he woke up in the morning, when he was shaving, when he was at work, when he was eating dinner table, you know, that's all he did, was just kept putting these words, just their words, just English words into his head over and over again. He did this week after week, year after year. And I'm talking to him now, you know, this is like 8 years later. I knew him 4 years before, but this is 8 years later, and I'm amazed. You know, I'm sitting there saying, you learn English like that? And he said, that's all I did. I had nobody trained me, had no books. This one guy held him accountable. One guy kept giving him the information, and then he kept not only studying it, not only memorizing it, but trying to apply it. Because what he's standing there before me. This guy could read English, he could write English, he could speak English, he could communicate English. To put a parallel, I mean, I was sitting there amazed. It would be like me giving me a Greek Bible in Greek and going to Greece and saying, okay, learn it. I mean, this guy did something, he did tremendous. I mean, it's a tremendous achievement. And then I'm sitting there thinking, now here I am, wondering why I'm having such trouble studying and reading the Bible. I mean, I felt ashamed. I mean, if this guy could do all this in a foreign land with no training, no help, and not knowing a word of English, what's that say about me? I mean, maybe the lacking is not in the word and not in the people that are trying to help me. Maybe the lacking was in me. Maybe it was me that had to make some application. I had to do a little bit better. See, because this guy had it figured out. I asked him the question. I said, how did you manage to do this? I mean, you realize he's got to work too. I mean, it's not like this guy is, all he has to do is do this. I mean, he's come from another country. He's got nothing. And he's living here, and he's got a wife, he's going to have a baby, and he's got 2 kids, and he's working 70 hours a week in just menial jobs just trying to make it. He don't even have a roof over his head. He's staying with people. But you see, I asked him a question. I said, how do you do it? How did you do it? And I kind of remember pretty much word for word. He said, when I came to this country, he said, I found liberty for the first time in my life. But he said, but when I learned the language, I was truly set free. He said, he was in the right place, but until he learned the language, he couldn't move about. He couldn't aspire. There was a lot of riches here, but there was nothing here for him unless he grew in the language. So anybody, I got a bunch of parallels. We're gonna get into scripture here in a few minutes, but I'm just trying to set this up because you see, it kind of jolted me in the reality that the problem is not with the word, the problem is not with the church, the problem is not with people that are trying to help you. Most of the problems come from an individual who's just not willing to purpose themselves, to really apply themselves, to let God change their lives through the word. And see, Marco longed for liberty. I just wrote these down. I'll just kind of read through them real quick so I don't take a lot of time with them. Because I can just talk all night. We can just keep going on. There's all kinds of parallels. And you're probably thinking more, and I won't say them, and you may want to say them. That's fine. Marco longed for liberty from his old state or his country, and he received it when he entered the United States. Similarly, at one time, we were enslaved by our sins in our former lost state. But when we obeyed the gospel, our citizenship changed to the saved state that's in Christ. But Marco could not communicate with his new boss. This was his problem. He wanted to move up in these companies, and he wanted to do more with American in labor. But he couldn't communicate with his bosses in the United States, so it was hard for him to advance, and he realized that after about 6 or 7 months. We also find it very hard to understand and communicate with our boss, which you got your hat on now, but your boss, that boss that's on dead, what's that, Doug's hat there, and our Lord, that if we do not know the boss's language, that the language of God, we see there's no communication. There's no communication at all. Now, Marco was in an ideal state in the U.S., but he did not know the language. So what did he do? Well, he studied and he learned the language. That was his remedy. It's not rocket science. If you don't know it, you've got to get to know it if it's important. Now, similarly, we were brought into the ideal state when we obey the gospel, and we were brought into the saved state. But we need to learn the language of this state. You see, there's a language as a Christian, and it's called Bible language. It's a vocabulary that we've got to learn. The Bible doesn't speak like the world. The Bible has its own vocabulary. God's got his own way of dealing with things and talking about things and explaining things. And if we're trying to use the old language from the old state in the new state, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We've got to speak the new language. And so, and it may take work. It may take a lot of effort on our part to do that. And what we try to do with this ministry is we're trying to learn better and better the language, the vocabulary of the Bible, so that we know God's viewpoint on things, not man's viewpoint. We want to see things the way God sees them, not the way even we see them. How does God see them? I know he got into a lot of problems with his relatives and his friends and his family members and people that he worked with. They kept telling him, you're wasting your time. Hold on to your heritage. Hold on to your language. He said, well, I don't have any problem with knowing my old language, but I'm in a new state. I'm in a new country now. I've got to learn this language. I'm a citizen of the United States, and I need to learn the language we speak here. And of course, similarly, we have to do the same thing. You know, when we become a Christian, we can't live in the world. We die to self. We live for Christ. And we have to learn this language. Marcus said he wasn't truly set free till he learned the language. And similarly, a Christian is not truly free till he knows Bible language. That's seeing things from God's point of view. What's John 8:31-32? This is the verse that came to my mind when he's talking to me. This is ringing in my head. The Jews, right? Something about truth, something about holding on to it and knowing it, not just being able to read it and write it and hear it and understand what's being said, but to know it, for it to be who you are, I mean, for it to take control of your life, for it to be the motivating force of what you're doing every day. You've got to get to know God through his word. You get to know this country even better that we're in, this state that we're in as a Christian, the position that we have as a Christian, the hope that we have to share with other people. We'll never know that unless we really take the time to get to know the language. This language of God. 2 Timothy 2, 15 and 16. I know John knows it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
Go ahead. I like it.
Study to show yourself.
Yeah.
Avoid God. Yeah, avoid godless chatter. Right. Go ahead.
But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness.
Right. You know, the more we try, like poor old Marco, the more he tried to learn English, he had 100 people telling him to stop. He's wasting his time. He doesn't need it. And the more we try to learn, the more we try to stand fast in what God has to say, and we spend more time we spend on it, the more time there can be people trying to pull us away from it.
You don't need all that. All you need to do is believe.
Yeah, right. And I mean, you know, Christians who want to draw close to God, who want to enjoy their position in the saved state, are pulling themselves out of this blessing because we're staying out of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And this is why when you get into this ministry, the first thing you find out is that you never seem to have enough time to read. You never have enough time to pray. You never have enough time to study the Bible. You never have enough time to be a surgeon. Well, what in the world? Why? Because...
What happened?
It's
a good point.
You've got to understand that the last thing that the devil wants, and our friends of the old nation want, is for us to get close to this language that God has for us, for this change in us. That's the whole purpose of the language. The language changed Marco's life. It changed his whole thinking, all his plan, everything. He had a general plan. But it was all changed when he came to this country. I mean, that is in the sense of how he was going to do it and how he was going to go about it. He did it by the rules here, you know. So you gotta, and the first part of that thing, you gotta use the language correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can learn some language and use it incorrectly,
right.
And get yourself in more trouble than if you didn't know anything. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8.
One with you will have success.
Yeah. Right.
Keep the commandments. I have to read it.
Somebody look it up. That's fine. See, God's always felt this way. Go ahead, Warren.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Right. You know, we should not try, like Marco, he would never let those words escape from him. He held them with him until they were in him. And then when he was in them, the first thing he wanted to do was go home and tell his wife, guess what sentences I learned today? He would tell his kids that. He wouldn't let his kids speak Spanish of some kind. He gave a different name at the table. When they talked to him, they had to speak to English. He let him speak Spanish to his wife. But to him, no. You can't get enough from me, and I can't get enough from you without speaking English. It meant that much to him to learn the language because, well, he realized prosperity was hooked to learning the language. The blessings were hooked to it. You couldn't have it without it in this new state. And of course, you know, the parallels are there. I don't have to keep drawing the picture. You see the parallels. Anybody got a comment? I'll hold off a second.
I would like to interject something that has come up in my individual discipleship that I would encourage us to try to work on. I don't know if perhaps it's happening to you, but along these lines, learning the language, as we go through the discipleship program, and if you start with somebody new, you're doing the same studies over. And sometimes that can be not only boring, or if you don't put a zeal in it, you can go to the study unprepared, even though you have notes from the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage all of us to refresh it, you know, because God's truth is always going to teach us something new for that particular devotee or yourself. And just jot down a new idea so that when you get together, it's not just flipping the book open and reading what you did with,
right,
like with Chris or,
right,
you know, yeah.
Right.
And that will, that zeal will rub off on your disciple partner. And they'll see that you've got, if you've done eight people, you've got piles, you got papers in there where this one's for you.
Right.
You know, this was Chris, and this was
right.
Jeff, and this was, now this is you, fresh piece of paper here. This
right.
is new ideas. And,
right.
and that'll help with the language.
Right.
And I think that's a real hard thing to do because it's disciple, it's
right.
discipline.
Right. And I wish you could have talked to this guy, because, you know, if ever you want to meet somebody that was glad to be a citizen and glad to succumb to the requirements of this new situation in this country, this guy was so excited. I wanted to go to South America and then come back. I mean, the guy was just, you could tell that he had been overcome with this excitement of being here. And I think a lot of times we lack that. We lack the excitement. People can see it. It can't be just repeating words. It needs to be affecting us, who we are. And that sometimes takes time, like Jimmy said. It's a discipline. Do what God says, and God will do what He says. But try to just put it all based on how you feel about it on a given day, then that's what you're going to end up with, something different on any given day. Any other comments that anyone want to say? Anything?
I think it's a real good analogy. I was sitting here thinking when you talking about that, I know a lot of guys that have gone off to language school because, you know, Christ did set them free. They wanted to go set other people free, you know, like John going to Russia and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Rica, they have a language school. When I ask them, you know, I said, how did you learn? You know, how'd you pick up? Because these guys who grew up in America, they think better in Spanish now, you know,
mm-hmm.
and even when they're talking to me sometimes, even though I'm from their old language, sometimes
mm-hmm.
they're throwing in Spanish, you know, and I say, whoa, 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 you know. No comprende, you know. And I ask them, how did they teach you? And they said, they would say the same thing. Every day, they would get a card or they would take notes on a phrase. And they were to, they had a route, like a paper route, you know. And the thing about South America is everybody's on the street, all these vendors. And so they would go down the street and stop at different people. And the first day they'd say, hola, buenos dias, you know. Next day they'd come back, they'd learn new phrase. Hola, buenos dias, they'd add to it. Me llamo Douglas Hombre Duro, you know. Dug hard man, durable man. No way to translate, Hombre Duro. And then the next day they'd come back and they'd add something to it. And I was just sitting here thinking, you know, when you were talking about this, you know, what if we could do something like that? I mean, it's one thing to memorize the Bible. It's another thing to get it out there on the streets.
Right.
And to get it in daily practice, you know. What if you memorized, you know, a verse, Joshua 1:8, and you went around to 50 people and told them, you know. Even if a lot of them were Christians, you know, could you imagine Howard DeHaven or someone in church, after about 30 people came up to him, told him Joshua 1:8, you know?
It'd make him wonder, you know. They'd say, well, there's something to this. What's going on, you know? I don't know if you could recommend anything like that or not. You know, it might be a crazy idea, but might be something to think about, too.
We can go on with the analogies of this. It's just such tremendous. I'm glad I went through it that day. But I know Marco said, he said this one thing. I asked him, I said, I don't know, I still, after all this talk, we talked about 15 minutes. I said, after all this, I just can't believe you did. You know, I'm sitting here talking to him. I have to believe it. I mean, I don't think he lied to me how he did it. I mean, I knew him. I'd known him for 6 of the 8 years he was here. And after 2 years, he could speak pretty good English, and now he's just, like you were saying, that he had immersed himself in the language, man, all everything that went with it, and he was just an American, you know, that is in the sense of every cultural way that you can think of. It transformed him. What's that, if the man thinks so he is, you know, I mean, and this is what he was doing. He didn't want to be the old Marco in South America, he wanted to be the new Marco in the U.S. And so Marco, I said, how'd you do it again? What was the key? And he said, Marco, and this is what he said, and this is pretty much close to a quote. He said, learning the English language became the most important goal in my life. And I said, why? And he said, his whole family's future depended on it. That's what he said. You see, I mean, he had the right motivation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I guarantee it, 90% of the Christians shrinking back is lack of motivation. They don't have a picture. They don't have a purpose. They don't see where it's going, where it can lead.
And they can only realize his statement is so true in the Word of God. Our future of our family relies on the Word of God.
Especially for us men. I don't know if you realize it or not, you know, but they watch us, you know, our wives and our children watch us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna elevate beyond above us. Not unless we're way down and they just, in spite of us, go above us. But for the most part. For the most part though, they're just gonna they're gonna look at us and they're gonna gauge and where they're gonna go. So the question for us then, is how important is it for us to know and understand and implement Bible language? You know, that's our question. We know how important it was to Marco for his language. Now, we've got a language that's more important to know than any language in the universe.
Yeah.
It's a language of God. So what kind of determination should we have towards it? You know, is it something that we just have this kind of you know, we make all the right declarations. It sounds spiritual, and we've got all the right words, and it's smartly worded. But yet, when it comes to the actual doing, our demonstration is nothing like our declaration. See, and we can't do that. We've got to be careful that what we say is what we do. And that's the whole key for this next year. We keep talking about it. What we say, when we say the ministry is going to be, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. We're going to read the Bible every day. And we're going to encourage the person we study with to read the Bible every day. And we're going to memorize Scripture every week. Not one out of 5 weeks, but every week. And we're going to meet every week. Not one out of 6 weeks, not one out of 9 weeks, or when the things kind of gel. No, it's going to be a priority because our family's lives depend on it. The church's vitality depends on it. More than that, if you want to just get selfish, your own spiritual growth, my own spiritual growth, individual, depends on it. On my picture that I have in my mind, how important this, in this case, we'll just talk specifically of the ministry, but if you don't want to use this ministry to get to accomplish this goal, whatever you're doing, it better be going for that goal. Because there's no better goal to have than to be learning this language, because it's too important not to learn. It opens every single door in the blessings of God. I mean, we're in Christ. I'm not saying that we're all not going to be. We're all going to be different. We're all going to have different levels. We're all going to learn different. We're going to have different things that we think are more important than somebody else. But the objective, the purpose, is pretty simple. And in this ministry, the four things that we go by, was it the three? What is it? Remember the three things we talked about at the very first meeting we had. The method, the message, and the purpose. And they're still the same. We still do it one with one. We still use these lessons and the way that we do them, the way we use them, and we still have the same purpose, to make disciples, ourselves and the people that we're working with, of Christ. And it hasn't changed. You know, it's been 3.5 years down the road, but it hasn't changed. And so we can't get away from that. We've got to keep that fresh. Just like Marco kept things fresh. He always kept it simple. He kept it right where he knew it needed to be. And it works. If we do it the way it's designed to do, it'll be done. It works. What's Deuteronomy 29:29? Great. That whole passage is great. We don't have time to read the whole thing, so we'll just read 29:29. Go ahead, Lauren.
Secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of His law.
Tremendous, well, tremendous principle there. But I guess if I can just kind of sum it up on that, in that verse, and there's too much to say, but just sort of summed up, but it's important. God's revealed it to us. We're blessed. We're not. And the revelation that God's given us through this word, things that we've learned, we're responsible now to do something with. When God reveals His will to a man or a woman, in this case men like us, then we've got a responsibility to live up to that revelation that He's given us. We just can't simply listen to it and then walk away and do what we want. We have to do it. That's discipleship, biblical discipleship. It's not always easy. And I'm not talking about like, oh man, you know, Chris, you're always doing it just right. I fail every single stinking day. Just like I'm sure Marco fell on his face regularly trying to learn those sentences, but his purpose never changed from day one. And in the long run, the long haul, he did what he did. And he didn't have the Holy Spirit helping him. He didn't have the word, the promises of God helping him. He was just trying to get something done in the world with some worldly activity, and he did it on his own in that case. Of course, God was blessing him, and he didn't know it. But here we've got the Bible written of God, living and active, inspired, working through us with the Holy Spirit. And then we say, well, we just can't seem to get it done. We want to get it done. We have a desire to get it done. But, just as soon as I get more time, I'm going to get it done. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Belong to us and to our children forever, a heritage. And not just our children, but the spiritual children. Remember the 2 Timothy 2:2, that spiritual heritage we're leaving. We got to realize it's too important not to do. And I'm not, again, everybody's got their way of doing things. there's a lot of ways to build a disciple, make a disciple. There's a lot of way to, there's a lot of different ways to fulfill this generic term of discipleship, biblical discipleship. But we have a method. This is the way we do it with this ministry. And when people come into the ministry, we have to make sure that we understand this is the way we're going to do it. We have to keep doing it this way to keep things to where everybody can do it. So that when we send somebody off with somebody else, we're not going to wonder how they're going to do it. That the leadership that has decided and the way we decide to go through this thing, this is the way it's going to be done. And that when I interview a lady or a man and I say, here's what we do. We do this, this, and this, and they get excited. And we're going to meet every, and then we do this, and we're going to read and study, and then they go study with somebody, and they meet once a month. The other person's not ready. They maybe do their memory work, they maybe don't. And she's not going anywhere spiritually. She's saying, it's not everything you said it was. But it's not that the ministry's not everything. It's that we're not doing everything that we said that we would. And we all know what that covenant, that contract said, that we would stick with it. And it's just not just for us, it's for the whole ministry. But I'm just trying to drive the point home that this is important. Moment of truth stuff, you know? I mean, this is, you're always going to be at a crossroads for something. This is a great opportunity. God's given us a great opportunity. We talked about this at the meeting we had, our yearly meeting. God opens doors when he opens them. And you're right now at a wide open door for God, just like I am. Are we going to make the most of the opportunity, though? That's just a question you have to answer. It says, we can learn and apply the set free by Bible language today. It says, Marco approached the problem with the English language. We can approach the same way. He had desire, and there's a bunch of verses, 2 Timothy 2:15, Psalm 119. He was willing to sacrifice. He made it a priority. Anybody know 63:1, Psalm 63:1? Or Matthew 5:6? Some priority passage. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, and they shall be filled. See, there's some activity on our part for the blessing of this group. And We're going to have to make it a priority. This is Mark to,
we have to realize the passion. All of us had a zeal when God called us that oftentimes we're soon to forget, you know, the call. The passion needs to be ever at our sight, and in our, like you're saying, set, keep that goal over in front of us. As disciples or disciplees, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, either way. Right. I know. Anybody else?
Do you have any encouraging comments about intimidation? A lot of times, not very often, but if you ask,
I always say, be very intimidating. No, I'm kidding.
If you ask somebody to be part of the ministry,
yeah.
Sometimes because of the longevity that, like John and Calvin and Jody, the longevity of the covenant that we have, they're intimidated by that. Like, oh, well, I'm inferior to you, you know, and I could never live up to the way you are. And that's not what this is all about. This is just about sharing and devoting and forming a loving relationship with one another.
Right. And that's just going to be something that we have to learn to communicate when we talk with people. When they're going to have to be able to have that understanding as they get to know us. Sometimes you're clumsy at first when you get to know it, when you get with people, but they're going to have to understand that, like that little thing we have, that little packet we talk about, you know, we're not teaching lessons, we're teaching people. And people got to know they care. They don't care how much you know, they first know how much you care. And all these little catchphrases are true. And they'll pick that up. They'll pick it up. You know, you just got to work at it. If that's a weakness you have or a weakness that I would have, then I just got to work at that. That's something that I got to work on. And some of us may have that down pat, and we just can't get to the meat of it. You know, we just aren't prepared to do some other things in it.
Do you still see him?
Who?
Marco?
He transferred. He went down to Alexandria.
Okay.
He doesn't work.
How long has it been since you've seen him?
About 2 years, 3 years.
Okay. And that was after a 6-year relationship with him?
I had never talked to him at this length. I'd known him. I had delivery, driving a truck, so you come in, you deliver the freight, you talk to him, small talk, and you go on. And we just had some time to talk.
With what Jimmy's saying, it sounds like he never did lose his passion.
No.
Even though he became well versed in the language, had accomplished what he had hoped to accomplish, he never lost sight of the fact that without that he was nothing, and with it there was no limit to what he could accomplish. And I think that often, I agree with what you're saying, Jimmy. I think sometimes we lose, or to maybe take for granted, you know, what it is that we have. That's always going to be there. We're always going to be as smart and knowledgeable and wise and spiritual. Well, that ain't true. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can, our barometer can start going down just in direct proportion to the amount of time that we don't spend doing those things.
Yeah, and that's probably the misunderstanding that a lot of people have addressing that kind of that same question about the ministry, about discipleship. It's, I don't know how to say it, making it clear. It's not, when I study, I'm studying with Tom right now. It's the best part of my week. And it's a selfish way to say it, but I want to study with him because I want to grow. I mean, as long as he's willing to show up and do at least the best he can, I know it's going to happen, and I grow. Now, it's not a matter of me, I'm going to show Tom how to be a Christian. I'm going to show him how to be a Christian. I'm going to make something out of that guy.
Well, let's hear what Tom.
Yeah,
can
that
you comment,
it.
Tom? How's it going? I mean, share with us how you, I mean, Chris is obviously a school brother. Are you intimidated at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's good news.
At first I was, but it's short.
You get a coat now.
Yeah. Easy there.
No.
That's right.
Maybe a little at first because you almost have that idea that that's what you're going to do, or that's the intention.
Right.
And after like the first class, it's just.
Yeah. You see, we're growing together. We're helping each other grow. Yeah. He's reading different things than maybe I'm reading. Like I'm not reading the same text he's reading, but I've got the text that I'm reading. And he's doing memory work. It's not the same memory work I'm doing. I'm still doing memory work every week. It's not the same memory work and I just keep doing the same verses over and over again. I do them, but I do new ones. Because it ought to challenge me as much as it's challenging him. If I'm asking him to be challenged, what in the world am I doing then? If I'm not challenged, I'm just showing up, doing him a favor. That's going to show up in about 5 minutes. That's what it's going to end up being, about a 5-minute session.
I think you would look at it totally different, too, if Chris was flipping open his book and he was just going over the same thing, that you could look at the paper, because you sit at the table, I mean, you're right next to each other, you pray with each other, and you could say, well, Chris, that's the same idea you had 6 months ago. I mean, that's not fresh. That's not new.
Right.
And God's truth is always fresh and new. You could read the same passage today and read it again in the morning and have a different idea on or a different truth on that word. And I think that's almost vital in the discipleship ministry.
Well, the more you say it doesn't have anything to do with being able to attain. I'm gonna get smarter and smarter. Do the things that God says to do. Just do the things He says, and God will take care of it getting wiser and more able-bodied with the Word.
Amen, yeah.
It's not one of these things where you say, oh, I'm going to do this smart, and I'm going to learn this much, and I'm going to show them. It ain't going to work that way. You know, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Just real quick, he had someone hold him accountable, which I like. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. He used everything he learned. That's why he was learning it. It wasn't just to go home and talk into a tape recorder with it. He was doing it for a purpose. He also taught others. He taught a lot of his family. He taught a lot of friends, people he acquaintances, because he realized how valuable it was. He realized this guy was a better worker than he was, but he wasn't getting anywhere because he didn't know the language. So he was teaching the language. And then the guy would prosper. And he felt real proud about that. I mean, it is a good feeling when you help somebody. It wasn't making him a disciple of him. He was trying to show him the blessings that were in this new state that they were in, this new country he was in. And once they caught it, then they went off on their own. He never saw them again. They realized the value of it. He taught them the value of it. Thus the language transformed his thinking, then his life, and with it came the understanding and freedom that really he was looking for all along. That's why he came here. He didn't know it right away. He knew some of it, but he realized that the real blessing after he got here was more than he ever envisioned, you know, after he learned the language, after he realized how far the language could take him in this new country.
Well, he was in bondage without it.
Right, right, right.
Complete and total bondage.
Right. That's pretty much, what time you got?
8:15.
Already 8:50?
8:15.
15.
Yeah, I'll say, I didn't think that walked that long. Mm-hmm. Well, anybody got anything? I just got a couple little things, just nothing really to, like, I'm already done this, so I was kind of jumping around. Anybody got any comments or anything? Well, you think of them, while I'm going down this list real quick, practical help, some things that I just jotted down this morning when I was thinking about it, because I got done thinking about that story, and I said I really didn't tell them how to do anything. You probably got some ideas, but I know Chuck said one day in one of his sermons, I thought it was really timely, a little every day goes a long way. We can't do this Thanksgiving-style spiritual growth, you know, eating a big dinner once a year, once a week, once a month, and think you're going to grow that way, you're going to die that way.
That's right.
A little bit every day, a little bit every day. I can't harp on that enough, a little bit every day. It's so important. Put it at the top of your list at the beginning of every day. If you want to do this, if you want to read and study and grow, it's got to be something you prioritize. You've got to make it something that's important. It says use a daily reading system if need be, and there's all kinds. All the way down to just buying a book at the bookstore that just breaks the reading down a little bit. 15 minutes a day, you read the Bible through in a year. Half hour a day, twice through in a year. The entire Bible, a slow reader. There's no reason we can't be familiar with the words. Even if we don't understand them, we can get familiar with what's, like Chuck said, you might not know what everything is there, but you'll know what's not there. And,
that's right.
And you'll answer a lot of questions in your own mind just by knowing what's not there. And that's an important principle.
We need to preach and teach that. That the more you know the Bible, the more it'll set you free from divisional teachings, because you'll recognize falsehood just like that.
And it's not the things that you don't know that bothers us, it's the things we do know that we need to give an account of.
Right.
That's
right.
The little things that are the most important anyway.
Right. And you can listen to tapes. Of course, I drive a truck, so it was easy for me.
Yeah.
I listen to tapes all the time, whether they're sermon tapes or the Bible on tape or lesson tapes or Wednesday night tapes. Just listen to them back and forth. I can't read the card then, but I can sure listen to them. And, you know, it goes in here and it produces. I got here, it says read less junk news and more good news. And that's, again, your time. What are you doing with your time? Everybody's got enough time. You just got to make the time. Memory work on the 3x5 cards. I've talked about that before. And keep it with you. And keep them with you everywhere you go. So when you have 10 minutes that you're not doing anything, you can do the memory work. And you're not scrambling to do it at 11 o'clock when you got to go to bed.
And you can do a lot of cards in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can really.
And then it's also, you don't have to rush right before your disciple hour
right.
to try and crunch right. like it's some kind of test.
Right, right. It's not a test. Right, exactly. You're trying to change you.
Yeah.
And you can't change you by just doing it just well enough to get by the time when you're studying. Because
yeah,
after the 6 or 8 or 10 or months, it ain't going to make no difference.
We can see clearly in the apostles' doctrine that they were habitual practitioners of the word, even though it wasn't the written. Perhaps they knew it forward and back.
That's true. Anyone else?
Teach. Anybody has an opportunity to teach, seize the opportunity.
Praise God. Go on, John.
You'll learn more teaching than anything else that you could possibly do. If you take it seriously and if you prepare.
That man sits before you tonight as my encourager. What, 6 years ago, I sat in John's class and I thought, if he can do it, I can do it. And then he taught more and more. And then Doug hounded me. And finally, between those two, they saw something in me. And that's what he's doing, is edifying you, he's encouraging you. We see something in each other that's valuable to the body. And then...
It doesn't matter who you're teaching. I don't care if you're teaching kids, if you're teaching adults, if you're teaching teenagers. It's irrelevant who you're teaching. They will know whether or not you are prepared. You cannot wing it with them.
That's
you
right.
can't pull the wool over anybody's eyes and go into any kind of teaching session unprepared. So it forces you to discipline yourself to study and prepare. And when you study and prepare to teach, you retain a tremendous amount of what it is that you're imparting to others. And the more you teach, the more you retain. It was your dad, Richard's dad, that encouraged me to teach when we were at Valley Avenue, down in the basement over there. And I taught a senior high school class, and I think you were involved, and it was a disaster. I mean, and I was really discouraged. But he encouraged me to keep on trying. We started the basics class over there, and we taught in the parsonage. And we had so many people in that class, they actually were sitting on the stairs, all the way up in the stairs, in chairs, like a room like this. We had 35, 40 people, I guess. Calvin would teach 1 week, I'd teach 1 week. Bob Rexroy would teach 1 week, just the encouragement to teach, to step out and do it. And I really, anybody that has an opportunity to teach, I really recommend it, even if it's doing a house church, preparing
to
teach a house
church.
And if you
need an opportunity, just so happens that we have spots available
for you to teach. This is what we do, we're trying to teach others.
That's right.
And when Tom, I'm studying with Tom now, he realizes that our priority, what we're hoping for, that Tom's going to take the stuff that he's learning and he's going to teach someone else. So he's listening with a different ear than someone that's just going to be listening like in a Sunday school class.
Yep.
And I'm going to be trying to tell him things in a way that I would know, and he's going to be trying to relate things to me that he would know in a way that I'm going to be able to use them and communicate them to somebody else. It's it's a built-in accountability, when you feel that responsibility that you've got to know it well enough to be able to communicate to somebody else. Guard the meeting ruthlessly, the weekly meeting. Sometimes everybody says,
I don't know how many times
we can just say that to one another. Meet every week. The memory work and the meeting every week is the two hardest things because they take the most of your time. You cannot get around it. You either do it or you don't.
The devil's around every corner of the church.
Sometimes we don't even need a devil to help. Sometimes we just do it ourselves by our own laziness. I mean, that is trying to do too much. And so
I would like to plug, and I want to thank Jeff for this, about, I don't know, I think it's been a couple of months now, about 8 weeks I've been coming to prayer circle. I would encourage any of you, if you can make it to prayer circle on Sunday morning with the elders and the leaders of the community, not only do you realize the needs of the body, but you really feel like you're a participant as a prayer warrior. And now I understand that a lot of us have children or other things going on first thing in the morning, you can't make it, but if you can, it's a perfect way to start the first day of the week. Because you get this, you be there with your brethren and your elders, and it gives you a realization of the church body as you go into that critical moment. So,
well, I'd say I've said a lot of things. I hope there's something through all that stuff that is going to help us. I know I was trying to think of ways that we could help each other to do better what we're doing. We've got some things that we have to work on, like I say, the faithfulness. You got about 5% of the idea was the idea of doing this. You had about 10% of it was planning it out what we were going to do. And now we've got the doing and the follow through is the rest of it. And this is the hard part. We've got to keep following through. Keep doing what we said we were going to do. And keep doing it. Not just to the next month or the next year, but the year after that. We've got to keep that in our mind. It's something we're going to continue to do and follow through on the things that say we're going to do, whatever they are, and in this case, specifically the ministry, but even just, in general in our lives, it's important that we follow through, and the ministry will continue to grow, continue to prosper if we follow through. It'll grow either way, but what's going to happen at the end, I don't know, if we don't follow through the way we say we're going to do, with them. And anybody's got any questions, because I know some of you maybe have not been in as long as others, what we do and why we do it, I could talk to you about that, because I realize everybody's a little different areas. We always can't talk about the same thing every time we come together. Anybody have any questions or anything or any comment they want to make? I'm going to just finish because I'll just probably be saying the same thing again if I don't be quiet.
Do you have a backlog of people, men that are in the wings to be?
I think I've talked to Sheldon about one. Well, about the, about Bill Shue. And we've got another man that may do it. Brian Oates. We're not sure. He's got to take care of some things first and see what he's going
to
do.
I would like somebody to disciple my son Brad. And he's getting married July 11th. And Kirk, you want? Okay, good. I appreciate that because he's not one who's going to come out and ask somebody. Right. Somebody's going to have to approach him.
And that's a good point. Yeah. You know, we're called to go make them, not sit and wait for them.
Right.
You know? We've got to go out seeking, you know, not waiting for somebody. Oh, you want to start a meal? Sure, come on.
He'll do it if somebody will ask him and make the overture towards him. Sure. I appreciate that.
And, you know, we won't go out there and say, look, man, you guys look in really bad shape. Your life's really a wreck. You know, you ought to get discipleship. You know, we'll straighten you out. That's not the way to go about it. You know,
I can't use that.
we're encouraging one another. You know,
that's why I'm not having that.
We are praying for all kinds of things, specifically to the discipleship ministry. I know we've got all kinds of prayer lists, and they're all important, and you may want to start one for just the discipleship ministry, mostly for the follow-through. You know, we pray for prospects. We need to be praying also for ones that were already in it would follow through. And continue on, you know, set the example instead of trying to find new ones to try to remedy the ones that don't do. You know, we've got people that are Christians, you know, and the ministry's not working for them, not because it can't, it's because the principles aren't being applied.
How many people have been discipled now? How many men, I'm sorry, have been discipled? You have, just off the top of your head. 100? Have we broken 100? Or?
You mean men and women combined?
No, just men. Just men.
Just men, no. I think it's about 30. 29
all. That's it in 3
See,
years?
See, the men have a problem reproducing.
Okay.
We've got lots of men that went through it, but we're not reproducing. We're not going out and stuff doing it with somebody else.
Right.
For the reason that you said that Brad has, because men are going to be more intense.
Reserved.
Back.
More reserved.
They're not going to be the outgoing of the two. The women, they're up in, like, they're like 60-some.
Double.
You know, because, but they still have the same problem the men had in the sense of following through.
Are you looking for someone?
Approach
Ben Zacco.
Okay.
Right. So look for good prospects, pray for good prospects, but pray for the ones that are already in the ministry that are struggling.
Also, wouldn't it be good, too, to try to find people that aren't Christians? Because that's when, you know, what you want to do, to try to lead them to become Christians?
Well, sure, yeah.
I mean,
there's no holes barred now in that. If you've got somebody in mind, you know, you go for it, you know. As long as you let the leadership know what you're doing, just so you know, they know what's happening, that we're studying with them, we try to keep track of them, especially people that we don't know or somebody that's not part of the congregation. They just want to know, that's all, and I think that's reasonable.
Well, Kirk, you were discipled before you were a Christian, weren't you? Which is what brought you to Christ, was the discipling, so.
Right.
Any other questions? I'll let this wrap this up here so this man can go up and eat before he leaves.
I'm starved.
What kind of diet are you on, man?
He means he wants to go home and study. That's Richard, can you have prayer for us?
Sure.
Go upstairs and eat.
Let's stand together.
Okay.
Let's join hands. Dear great Heavenly Father, we stand in humility and reverence and awe of you. We just thank you so much for revealing yourself to us. We are counted among the privilege and blessed to know the Word of God, the truth of God, being one fellowship that preaches and teaches and stands for the truth. Father, we just thank you for those that you have sent into our lives and shared that truth with us and that has brought us to the point of truth. Gospel and your word that we've been able to respond to. Thank you for those that you put into our lives as mentors and our people that we can look to as examples of transformation, examples of faith. For those those fathers that went before us as they stepped out in faith from Abraham, of the whole history of your interaction with me from the very beginning. Father, we just thank you for your plan that has included our salvation and now includes our sanctification and all of the blessings and promises of the new covenant. Thank you most of all for forgiveness of our sin and not holding our sins against us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the benefit of following your word, the way that works in our lives for us as men, for us as sons and fathers and husbands and workers. Thank you for those physical, material, and earthly blessings, but even more than that, we thank you for the spiritual blessings and the health and emotional well-being, the understanding that we have, the wisdom that we have, the assurance, the transformation that you are doing in our lives through the Word. Thank you for the power of transformed lives. We have people that we can see how they not only speak this language, but they live it. Change their lives. And thank you for Marco. We just pray that you would bless his life and wherever he is in his walk with you or his relationship with you. We pray that you'll take him from there and that he'll provide the things that he needs to be in a right relationship with you and to grow and to know you and to know this English language, this language of this country, but know the heavenly and the eternal language. Father, we pray for forgiveness where we have failed love you more than ourselves. We fail to love you more than the activities of this world, and our jobs, our well-being, the material things that we have, and the activities of our families. And we have put them before you. And Father, we pray that you forgive us for a lack of zeal, a lack of passion, lack of lordship in our lives. When we have allowed ourselves to be slack, when we have lost our zeal. So we just pray that you will fill us with the boldness and compassion. Thank you for the privilege of being in this room with these men. And Lord, Father, the examples that this congregation has. And Father, we do have, we are on the window of opportunity, the door of opportunity because of the power of the gospel. And all that you have given us as a church and as a congregation, we just pray that as we step up to that, that you would find us faithful. This important ministry, and we would not be those who drop the ball, or those who are a stumbling block to others, but that we would be faithful as those who have gone before us have been. Just pray that that faith would be passed on, and that when they look at it, when people see our lives, that they would see Jesus Christ, that they would see a transformed life, they would see a difference, and that they would want that difference. So, Father, we just pray that your word would have its effect. Help us to be students of the word. We pray that you would help us to lay bare our whole hearts and all of our lives. And Father, this word that you have given us would change us, and that we would be your people in our homes, at work, in the church, wherever we might be. That people would see the changes in our lives, and that they would be able to account for it in no other way. Relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we just pray that as individuals and as men, help us to be true men of God. And as a church, Father, I pray that what goes on at Mountain View might be explained in no other way than your presence is there.
Sure.
And the word is there. And it's of you. So we just pray that you'll bless us as we go from here. Please bless the ministry. Help us to follow through. Father, we just we know that if we're ready, send people our way and into the ministry. We just pray that you'd help us to be faithful, carry through on our commitments, and follow the plan that you've laid out in Scripture, which we may grow closer to you and may have our lives transformed. Which in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
See y'all at the prayer circle in the morning.
Don't forget about Stan. Don't forget about Stan. Don't get afraid.
That's right, yeah. Warren, you've got everybody's names, right? Well,
there's more cookies that we y'all would take some.
I'm going to eat some more lasagna.
Yeah. I'm going to work. Yeah.
That's good.
I don't understand.
Or he tries to talk to us. And they were standing there.
You know that story? Remember the judges about the guy when the language, when they were trying to do the language, people were trying to flee from the Israelites and had won the battle. And the guy started, I forget who it was now, I think it was Jephthah. Imagine Jephthah. He stood there and when they were coming across the river, they can say a word for you. If you weren't one of the people, you couldn't pronounce it right. You pronounce it Shabbalah. Pronounce it right. Killed you right there. Killed thousands that day. Because they tried to get by.
Christians just handle that stuff quickly.
Thanks, Chris.
Oh, I didn't. I remember we had talked. I didn't have to give you the name yet. Bill.
Oh man, he'll smoke you, old man.
And a couple other people. He's kind of neat.
Yes, sir. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, brother, for coming.
See you all in the morning.
But you can think about it. You'll see the Sunday morning. You'll probably ask me again.
See, Tom?
Thank you, brother.
Go on, you look, you look
yeah. Looking a little peaked there. You might want to...
Yeah,
I'm getting
weak. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop by a second.
Yeah.
But he's
available.
Hey, Jim.
You know what?
You want to take a chair with you?
I don't really want to.
You know, bring it?
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Yeah. Hey, Tom?
Yo.
Oh,
can you grab a chair too?
Because I want to show you.
Yeah.
Any of us like the white ones or...
Oh, guys, I forgot the tapes, man. I got tapes to give you.
Yeah.
Little brown bag.
Little brown bag.
Hey, Jeff. Can you grab the last year? All right, Orin, can you...
Yeah.
This one?
Yep.
Got
a
Bible on it.
No.
I can't pick that up. Is this Mr.
That's
Chris?
Ow!
There you go.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, that's Chris's. That's a John Dallas.
You know, that's a neat thing to happen.